Let's open in prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning just for being you. Just want to thank you so much, Lord, for being a God that cares about us. You reveal yourself in so many ways, Lord. But you gave us your word so that we could see you for who you are. And we just thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your precious word this morning. It will lead and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. This morning, open up to Philippians 4 and just hold your place there. Just want to recap on some of the things that we've been sharing over the past couple of weeks regarding this series on perfect peace. And, you know, we discovered some things about perfect peace and how we could attain and maintain that perfect peace. And one of the things we talked about was the fact that peace is evident that we're walking in the Spirit. So when we've got peace in our heart, it's evidence that we are walking in the Spirit because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Another one we talked about was peace comes from abiding in the Word of God. You can't have this peace that God speaks about if we don't abide in His Word. So He says, if you abide in me and my Word abides in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. Well, you know what? If we're asking God for things and He does it, that's going to result in peace. Amen? So it's evidence, and we know that abiding in the Word allows us to maintain peace. The other one I want to talk this morning about is this third truth, and that is the peace that the Lord gives that flows from a life of prayer. I want you to think about that for a minute. That, you know, when we have a life of prayer, peace flows from that. And we want Philippians to be our foundation scripture to help us understand that in more detail. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And I want to read through to verse 9. Because, you know, you can live this life as a Christian and spend very little time in communion with God. And it's important to understand, and it took me years to really get to understand. I'm still learning this, that prayer is not a religious posturing. Prayer is communion with God. It's communicating with Him. And that's a really important thing because, you know, sometimes we feel as though the only time we can pray to God is when there's something going on in our life that's, you know, an issue. Sort of, has it come to this? Do I need to pray? Is there nothing else I can do? Yet, our first port of call should be asking the Father. That's prayer. God, you know, what about this? I mean, somebody wants me to go out or, you know, wants me to get involved in this business venture or even wants me to go and have a look at such and such. He said, what about that, Lord? What do you reckon? He says, don't go. Or he says, yeah, go. No problems. Little things. Why? Because He's interested in everything we do. Everything. And that would save us a lot of trauma in life and give us a lot of peace if we actually listen to what the Spirit of God's saying to us. So prayer is that constant communion. Imagine being in a married relationship and occasionally we talk. Now, for some marriages, that is a case. And I can tell you right now, they're dysfunctional. They're not happy and functional. Helen and I just occasionally communicated because we had to. That'd be a really, really sad place in terms of a marriage. But we are married to Him. We're the bride. Are we the bride? We're the bride of Christ. We're married to our Father. So we don't just want to talk to Him when we're in a crisis. We want to talk to Him because we love Him and He loves us. So read with me. I'm reading from the King James to start with. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. and the peace of God. You notice the word and? It joins these. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What a powerful truth. Oh my goodness. You could just camp on that all day. You could never plumb the depths of what he just said then. We could spend 12 hours trying to unpack that. We wouldn't even touch it. He says, if you give to me your anxiety, I'll return peace. What? You give me your anxious thoughts and I'm going to give you my peace that you can't even understand. Who is this God that we serve? But he said it. It's written there for us. We're reading the will, aren't we? We're reading the will this morning. Now I want to read this part of it from the New Living Translation. It says, don't worry about anything. I'll tell you what, that takes faith. Don't worry about anything. You say, yeah, right. He said that. There's nothing God would put in his word that we can't do.
That's right.
Now, he understands that we can't do that in our own ability. Of course, we could never do that in our own ability. But he says, don't worry about anything. Now, that covers it all, doesn't it?
Yep.
Then he goes on to say, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says in Proverbs 4, 22 to 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life or the forces of life. That word keep is guard. Now, it just says here, his peace will guard your heart. His peace will guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember, he keeps those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because we trust in him. Can you see all the connection of the dots here? When we trust God and we go to, you only go to God in prayer because you trust him. Why would you go to a God that you didn't trust? Why would you go to God and say, God, can you get me out of this situation when you don't even trust him? Of course you wouldn't. And you know what? There are people today that have turned their back on God and won't trust him in prayer because apparently he didn't answer them. Well, that's not a truth. God hears the prayers of the righteous. So when we trust him, it all comes back to this peace that he replaces, because this world hasn't got it. You can't get it from that world, and you can't get it by trying to find some solution to this unrest. It doesn't come through working harder. It doesn't come through relationships. It doesn't come through taking drugs. It doesn't come through alcohol or relationships. It comes when we exchange anxiety for peace. Anxiety for peace. So if we can ask about anything or everything, then we should be careful for nothing. Can you see it? If we can ask about everything, then we should be careful for nothing, because he says everything. And that means the little things that seem insignificant to us, or the big crisis that's in our life, and everything in between. You know, should I go that way today, Lord? Should I go the normal route? Because I just have this sense this morning that, I don't know. He says, yeah, go this way. And then you're driving along and you happen to have the radio on and it talks about this big accident up the road, and you would have been right in the thick of it, and you would have missed 3 hours of your day. That's the Spirit of God. Should I go with that person today? And the God says, no, because they want to use you. They want to take advantage of you. You're wrong. Okay, Lord. How about that situation? Yep. Go. I've got that covered. He'll speak to us. He'll speak to us. Remember last week we were talking about, you know, abiding in the Word of God brings peace. And we saw the example of Jesus in the boat. And I just want to recap on that because it really just kept ministering to me during the week about the fact that he was the one who had peace and someone tried to steal it from him. His disciples, who were not in peace, wanted to take his peace. Understand this about the world. They want to take your peace. Don't let them. Don't let them take your peace. Just because they're in turmoil, we love them, we minister to them, and we do what God calls us to do, but don't let them take your peace. Just because somebody's having a really rough time doesn't mean that we're to take that and make it our burden, because he says don't be anxious for anything and you're to cast your cares. So Jesus, the one that's sleeping soundly, is interrupted because they're not in peace. And it's interesting, the ones that are not in peace are the ones that make the accusations that you don't care. Can you see it? I want you to understand that, because you're going to get a lot of opportunities, as I do, for somebody to disturb your peace. And you say, hang on, let's pray about this, but I'm not going to have my peace disturbed because you're not in peace. And you might think, gee, that's hard. No, that's Bible. And that's faith. We're not to carry the burdens of the world. If we do, we won't stay the course. You can't do it. We can't do it. But people want to take your peace away. Don't let them. This peace is precious. It is precious because it's spirit. And when we understand that it's got nothing to do with our natural circumstances, I don't know how I can express this in a way that it becomes a revelation, but this peace that we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks has nothing to do with what you do now in this world. Nothing. Has nothing to do with your current economic situation or your relationship situation. It's got nothing to do with your health situation. It's got everything to do with your connection to God in the Spirit. Everything. The natural realm doesn't bring the peace that this God is talking about and this word. But that's what the world's looking for. Can't find it. It was never given to them. But they'll see it in us. And that's a trigger point for people to inquire about this unknown God. Why do you have this peace that you've got? Why? What is it about you that's different? You've got a peace that I haven't got. I don't particularly want to follow your God, but I recognize there's a peace in you that I haven't got. What is it? Now that gives you an opportunity to share your love for them and the God that you serve. That's how God works. Listen to this, people. You can't have anxiety and peace at the same time. One replaces the other. Which one are you going to have? You can't have anxiety and peace at the same time. In that case, you can't serve two masters because they're both masters. You can have the master of peace or the master of anxiety. But you can't have both. You can't be experiencing both at the same time. One has to be replaced with the other. He assures us of peace because he has everything under control. That's why he assures us of peace. We cannot comprehend the peace of God which passes all understanding. Now this is interesting. I looked up that word understanding. It includes mind, thoughts, feelings, thinking and judging. If you are relying on your mind through thoughts, through feelings, through thinking, through judging to understand this peace, you're going to fall very, very short of the mark. It's beyond understanding. It's a supernatural peace. Trouble is, if people don't feel peace, they don't believe they have peace. Can I tell you now, in most occasions in my day's work, it's pretty tumultuous. But I have perfect peace. Because I'm not relying on what's happening in the world outside to declare that peace in my life. We have peace in our home continually. I've walked enough of this journey to know that I'm not going to let the devil in there and just destroy our home with his trash. We have peace. The devil has a hard time getting in and breaching that peace because I know how precious this is. And if you've got this peace and the devil can't breach it, I'm telling you, you are going to live a glorious time on planet Earth. Does that mean that we don't get trials and challenges? Come on. We've got plenty of those. People issues? 100%. But they're not my care. Oh, I thank God I've learned that. They're not my care, including the sheep in this church. I'm a pastor, and my primary role is to educate and to teach and to guide. To lead. I don't control. It's never my heart and my job. My heart is to impart, lead and guide. But I don't carry the care of the sheep. And you might think, how can you say that? You're the pastor. I refuse to carry the care. I give the care to God. And when I do that, God allows me to be an effective pastor. Amen. Can you see it? Yes. The moment I cast the care, I'm telling you, I'm now controlled by those. I won't be. The only thing I want controlling me in the right sense is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he doesn't control. He leads. So please understand my heart. You know, this is how God wants us to walk. So this peace that passes all understanding, that's why the world doesn't understand it. It sees something, but it can't understand what you have, hasn't got what you've got. These are spiritually discerned truths. So you've really got to be listening to the Holy Spirit when someone says, why do you feel the way you feel? What is it about that? He will give you things which will allow them to understand why you have the peace of God that you have. This outside of the church is not rare, it's extinct. Outside the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't exist. Oh, you know, there's a few people out there, but they've got a form of peace, but they don't have spirit peace. Because the devil's out there, you know, pulling everyone's chains, spiritually speaking. But can he disrupt you? When you know you've got something coming in the days ahead, whether it be a job interview or whether it be an examination coming, can you just stand before God and say, Father, I give that to you. And I just thank you that you just replace that with perfect peace. I tell you right now, you do that, you watch what he does. Because you just activated your faith. We are trusting in an unseen God to lead and guide us into all truth. Keep your minds and thoughts fixed on him. That's how you guard your heart. And remember, we have a covenant of peace with God. Just read again. We'll just read Isaiah 54 again. I just want to go back to that. We have a covenant of peace. You know, God can't break covenant. No way. Never. It's impossible for him to break covenant with us. So when we have that deep understanding, go to Isaiah 54:10. Isaiah 54:10. And I'm reading from the King James. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on me. Now go to verse 13. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Well, oppression and fear and terror are hardly going to knock on the door of someone who's filled with peace. When your heart's filled with the peace of God, I can tell you right now, those things are just going to walk away in depression because it's not going to latch itself onto you. So you've got to remember, you know, when the Bible talks about casting out devils, they come back worse than what was cast out when they come back to a furnished, clean house that hasn't been replaced with something. It hasn't been filled with something. See, when we get saved, we need to fill our heart with truth. Amen. Fill it so that the devil doesn't come in and take resident again. He ain't going to take resident. And the case of a born-again believer, he's not resident in your spirit, but I tell you what, he will well and truly make claim to your mind. Amen. And he will oppress you. Can you be oppressed? 100%. You know, the devil is a thief. But God's word is a beautiful truth. So it's a covenant of peace. This is a God, he's our covenant God. No one here can ever claim that God did not honour his word. If you do, you're a liar. Don't ever claim that God missed it in your life, because he can't. Don't ever say he's an unfair God, because he says he's fair and righteous and he's a judge of righteousness. Can't claim those things. We can't ever try and stand against a God and make an accusation against him. I've been reading Job in recent days, and Job tried to do that. But in the end of the book, God has to correct him, as he did Job's friends. You don't need friends like that. When you're in a hard place and all they want to do is accuse you of being a sinner, you don't need friends like that. But Job believed that God had afflicted him, and God didn't. God didn't. And God had to correct him. So, you know, God's a righteous God. Go with me to John 16. John 16. John 16, verse 24. King James. Oh, I love to hear those pages turning. And it says this, well, King James says, "Hitherto," or "up until this point, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now that joy is cheerfulness, calm delight, or gladness. Does that sound like peace?
Yep.
Well, what do we have to do? Ask. Does that sound like prayer? Yes. Asking is prayer. Asking is prayer. So, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:29, you don't need to go there, but I'm going to just read it to you. "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." Proverbs 15:29. So what is prayer? Well, prayer is communion with God, with confidence and assurance. It's not just talking with God. "Oh, God, you know, if you're up there, can you hear me? Can you hear me?" That's not prayer. Prayer is communion with a God that you trust and you know he's going to answer you. So let's get that settled right from the word go. So it's confidence and assurance. It's believing and receiving what he has already given to us in Jesus through grace. So that's prayer. So you think about that. If you go to Hebrews chapter 4, go forward a bit to Hebrews 4, scriptures that we've read before, but we want to allow this word to minister to us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through to 16. So prayer is communing with our God. It's not coming with a sense of shyness or unworthiness. It's not that. We don't believe that we're holy enough. That's not the position that we take in prayer. Verse 14 of Hebrews says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." Isn't it interesting? He's a great high priest. Not just a high priest. "That has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession," or our confession. Don't let go of it. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Wow. God, do you know what I'm going through? You betcha he does. Don't go to him with that. Don't do the pity party with God. It'll get you nowhere. I tell you what though, you'll invite every devil into your home. I'm saying that because it's true. Because he says, read it again, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities," which means he is a high priest who does understand. He can be touched. We don't go to God and say, "You don't understand what I'm going through." He does understand what we're going through. He understands. Then it goes on to say, "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That means he didn't yield. He didn't yield to temptation. Can I say this to you? When you're tempted, you're not sinning. Temptation's not sin. If that was the case, Jesus was a sinner, and he wasn't, was he? He wasn't a sinner, but he was tempted. When you're tempted, it doesn't mean you're sinning. We all get tempted. It's what we do with the temptation. Do we arrest it or do we yield to it? Because, you know, temptation leads and ultimately births sin in our life. I get that. But Temptation is out there all the time. It doesn't make you a sinner. And he understands. And then, because of all that, because he's a great high priest and he understands what we're feeling, he then says, through the word, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly to the throne, not the cross. You come to the cross when you're a sinner needing salvation. Once you're a sinner who's saved and you're a child living God, you pass the cross and you keep going to the throne. That's where we belong. We're not at the foot of the cross wiping the blood. That's not where we go. Let's just come back to the cross. No, you don't. We go to the throne. And we go to the throne of what? Grace. That means what's there, we don't deserve anyway. But it's there for us. It's a package waiting to be unwrapped by his children that have been given access because he says, come. But he didn't say, come timid. He said, come boldly. That's how we pray. When you cast your care, when you're not anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. That's what you're doing. You are boldly going to him and saying, God, got to give this to you. I can't, but you can. He will. He's able to. That's our God. We keep reading. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. In a time of need. Okay? That's what we do. Boldly, confidently. Don't go there timidly because you don't feel worthy. That's the devil lying to you. And he'll do that every day if you let him. And I'll tell you what, if you let him, you're going to live a defeated life every day. Stop it. Don't let him whisper those things to you. You're bold. You're his child. He's got great and precious things for us. Exceeding great and precious promises to those that will take them. He's got, packages and gifts and graces just waiting to be taken. But they're all sitting in heaven. They're sitting in heaven. And he's like, quick, unclaimed goods. Are you going to claim yours? I'm going to. Claim. Claim what's yours. Don't have unclaimed goods sitting in heaven because you don't feel as though you're worthy to get them. Go in there, sit on his knee, say, thank you, Daddy, I appreciate it. Can I grab my presents now? He says, go. Go for it. Grab them. See you later, Dad. I'm going to have fun. He doesn't mind that. But give him a kiss on the way out. Give him a kiss on the way out. He's a loving God. So, we understand that there's a boldness in prayer. Prayer is spoken, not thought. Now, I'm not going to get into a study on prayer, but I want you, remember we talked about that. Prayer is not thought. Imagine Helen and I, every morning, having a thought conversation the next day. It's ridiculous. It's not thought. We don't go there and just... He said, what are you doing? I'm praying. He said, no, you're not. I can't hear anything. It's not thought. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Did he not? Yes. Of course he did. And we read before that ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Ask. Don't think. Speak. Yes. Tell him what you want. Say it. And you listen back to what he says to you. Not with these ears, but with your spiritual ears, which are far more in tune with the things of God than those ears. So we ask him because he says to do that. So what prayer is not? Just very quickly, because remember, this is peace that comes through a life of prayer. Well, prayer is not trying to get God's attention. True? Prayer is not trying to get God to do something. And prayer changes things, not God. God can't change. Your prayer doesn't change God one lick, nor does mine. What it does is it changes things or us to line up with him. Because his word's eternally set in heaven. If you're praying his word in prayer, you are going to receive. You cannot not receive from God if you're praying his word. Because his word never returns void. He said that. So, just repeating, Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. It's not trying to get God to do something. And prayer changes things, not God. God never changes. Remember, it's God's job, not ours, to take care of tomorrow. Isn't that right? Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow because there's enough evil in the day. That means he's got a responsibility to look after us tomorrow. Don't think about tomorrow as if it's critical and you need to act on it. God's got your tomorrow covered because he's in it. You're not, but he is, because he's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the I Am. So that's his responsibility, and he will look after us. Instead of worry, petition God for our needs, okay? Then thank him and confidently rest and work with the assurance that Jehovah Jireh will provide. Now that word Jehovah Jireh came out of when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, but God provided the ram. And he said, Jehovah Jireh provides. So that's what we do. Instead of worrying, we petition God. And that brings peace in our lives. Now I want to show you an example of this in the Old Testament. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat. And many of you will know this story. But it's a good example of what we're talking about this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read for most of this because we don't want to miss some of the truths that are here. After this, this is New Living. After this, the enemies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good king of Israel, a good king. Came after King Asa. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazaz Ontamar. This is another name for En-Gedi. En-Gedi is a lot easier to pronounce. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Interesting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you, O God. Did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with a calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple when your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Now, I want you to see the comparison for a minute here. We'll just stop there. They're going to a temple made by hands, aren't they? What did he say we can do? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Spiritual temple. Because we're the temple, we're the living temple, but we can go to the throne. But you notice how he approached his situation in prayer. He didn't go to prayer and start telling God about all his woes. He told God about and reminded God about his goodness. Don't miss that. Don't go to God and tell him about all your failings. He knows them. Don't go to God and beg for mercy because you don't have whatever it is you need. He gets that. What he wants from us is to praise him for his goodness, His mercy, His grace, His faithfulness, and His power to deliver. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He didn't get around in a scrum with his leaders and woe is me. He praised God and he was reminding the people of the goodness of God. Now we can do that. God, this is a difficult one, but I remember the day you delivered us from that. I remember when you met those financial struggles we had. I remember that day we're driving along and we didn't come to harm because your angels ministered on our behalf. Remind God, remind yourself of his goodness and the things that he's done for us. Remind yourself. Because what it does is it takes us off the circumstances and puts us squarely on the solution.
Amen.
And that's God Almighty. Amen? Amen? Keep reading from verse 10. And now, see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. See, there was an opportunity when they first left Egypt in the Exodus to destroy these nations. God said no. Their response, wickedness. So God's going to deal with them pretty shortly because they are taking on his children. I'll tell you now, when somebody's coming against you and it's evil, just stand back and watch the Lord at work, because I'll tell you right now, he will destroy your enemies. He will destroy your enemies. I don't care what they look like. He will destroy your enemies. And when I say destroy, may not physically kill them. He will destroy their plots to bring you down.
Yeah.
Sometimes wicked people die young because they won't humble themselves before God. But I can tell you right now, if we stand and trust our Lord, well, I can tell you it's a good day. Every day with God's a good day. No matter what we're facing, it's a good day in him. Right, so we keep reading. And he goes on to say, and now see those, we'll be there. Okay, oh Lord, won't you stop them? We are powerless, this is verse 12, against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Okay, so we might be powerless. We may have no idea what to do, but our mind is stayed on him. That's what this is saying. We've got no idea what to do. We don't know how to deal with the situation. We're powerless against this. This is a force that we can't contend with. But hang on, we're in you. We're in him. So when we're in Christ, we are not powerless. We are powerful. Amen? And that's what we have to understand, that we have him on our side. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children. I love that about the Old Testament. They involved their children because they wanted their children to see the power of God moving in the lives of people so that when they rise up and grow, they know that there's a God that liberated Israel and kept Israel. Oh, if we did that for our children, you know, today. Then it goes on to say, and the children, so while they were standing there, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, from the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeliel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah. So how quickly did God respond? Straight away. Straight away. Listen, you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against him. You will find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jerul. But you will not even need to fight. You hearing this? We don't fight. We fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is stand on the word and let God do the bidding. That's our fight. Doesn't matter who's coming against us, who wants to stop us. It doesn't matter what the opinion of people are. We don't fight. So we don't need to be rehearsing to God what people are doing in our lives. What we want to rehearse is the word of God back to him. Yeah. The power of his word which cannot fail. That's the way of faith, and that's where the victory is every time. It goes on to say, but you will not fight. Take your position, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Oh, I love that. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against him tomorrow for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low his face to the ground. And the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clan of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. I want you to see the difference here. You've got worship and praise. Praise is voice. Worship is posture. They're not the same. You can praise and worship, but what we did this morning was praise with a worshipful posture. When you lift your voice to God, it's praise. When Mary grabbed Jesus after his resurrection, it didn't say that she grabbed him by his feet and praised him. What did she say? She worshipped him. She wasn't singing songs. She was grabbing him with joy because that was a worshipful posture. Worship is of the heart. We live a life of worship. We lift our voice in praise. And it's right there. There's a difference. There's a difference. We go on to verse 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." Again, he's reminding the people of the power of God, you know, because God's fighting this battle. So believe, praise, and succeed. Okay? Now, verse 21. Now, I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. I used to think that it was God who directed Jehoshaphat to cause the praises to go first. What does the Bible say? What does it say? Jehoshaphat consulted the people. You tell me what we've read. Nowhere had God said, "I want the praises to go out first." Didn't say that. It said, "You stand. Go out there to Tekoa and you stand and watch the victory." Jehoshaphat consulted the people. The king, well, after he did that, the king appointed singers. Now, was he moved by the Spirit of God? I'd say yes, he was. But Jehoshaphat consulted the people, and after they did that, he appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him from his holy splendor. Singing to the Lord and praising. Not singing to the Lord and worshiping. They were singing to the Lord praises to him. And this is what they sang. "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At that moment, this is a power of praise, people. They began to sing and give praise. At the moment they began, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After that, they destroyed the army of Seir and they began attacking each other. It's like a cancer in a body. Consuming itself. That's what they did. It's a cancer. God routed this army. He routed the enemies. So when the armies of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. As far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. I'm telling you right, God will fight your battle. God will fight your battle. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. See, when God fights your battle, he also returns goods to you. Don't miss that, people. You got the devil stealing things and you let the Lord fight your battle. Not only will he fight your battle, he'll return your goods. The devil can't keep what he's stolen if you don't let him. He'll return your goods. Now, today we're not going out into battle fighting people and taking plunder, but we are fighting spiritual principalities, powers, rules of darkness, world, spiritual weakness in high places. We are fighting them. And how do we fight? By standing on the word of God. That's our spiritual position. Then he goes on to say, they went out, they found vast equipment, this is verse 25, and clothing and valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. Wow. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing. That's what they now call it. It's the Valley of Blessing. I wonder why. They walked away prosperous, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Now, these last few verses, I want to pick up a point. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came on them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace. For his God had given him rest on every side. See, when we go to God with our cares and we pray and we trust him and we thank him, God goes on our behalf and what's going to come is peace. As a result of that action, the whole of the nation experienced peace because everyone around him didn't want to bar Jehoshaphat. Because I knew his God was fighting battles. Amen. Now I'll tell you, we fast forward today, that's exactly how God is with us. God is fighting our battles for us, people. Prayer is critical to the equation. When we have a life of prayer, God's going to replace that with peace. See, Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace because he trusted him. And with prayer comes praise because we trust him. So I want you to think about that this morning. And now as we just close, he wants us to be anxious about nothing. Nothing. No thing, not one thing. There's nothing in your world and mine that is worthy of being anxious about. He's declared that and decreed it. No matter how serious it looks, there's a God in heaven that's declared with him all things are possible to those that believe. Why? Because our mind is stayed on him and we trust him. God won't let us down, people. He's a faithful God. Amen. And he loves us and he wants to fill us with his peace. Amen. Let's pray.